Welcome to Fountain of Living Waters Church broadcast with your host, Assistant Pastor Michelle Edelin. Prepare to draw deep from the well of living water that gives life-sustaining strength, encouragement, and joy. Once you drink from the fountain, you will never thirst again. Now, here's your host, Assistant Pastor Michelle Edelin.
Praise God. What a beautiful day it is, a beautiful day to be alive in Christ. I welcome you tonight to Fountain of Living Waters Church, iBloom broadcast, and I am so excited to have you here. Fountain of Living Waters Church is in Raleigh, North Carolina. We are a Bible preaching, Bible teaching ministry where we believe in ushering in the very spirit of the Lord and being in his presence every single time that we come together. I am your host for the show tonight, Michelle Edelin. I am assistant pastor at Fountain of Living Waters Church in Raleigh. I invite you to come and fellowship with us. We have services beginning at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we have our Bible Academy, and then we go right into our Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., where we have dynamic preaching and teaching every week. We come back on Wednesday nights for Bible study, and that begins at 7 o'clock p.m. We are currently studying the book of Revelation, and we are excited about that teaching. We are really enjoying it. People are being blessed as a result of coming to understand the Word of God even better. And we also, on Wednesday nights, open up our food pantry. And our food pantry is stocked with non-perishable food items. And we invite you to come and fellowship with us. But also, if you are in need of non-perishable food items, then you can come and be blessed, and we will be a blessing to you. So again, I'm Michelle Edelin, assistant pastor at Fountain of Living Waters Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and tonight I am beginning the a series. I'm calling it the Significance Series, and tonight we are going to talk about the significance of prayer in the life of Christians. The significance of prayer in the life of Christians. You know, let's start with a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for this day that you've allowed us to see. And we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for being our creator. We thank you for being our all in all. We thank you for everything that you have done for us in terms of protecting us and caring for us and loving us. We give you thanks for your word. We thank you for sending your word. We thank you that your word is true and that your word is right and that your word is what will make a change in our lives. So, God, let your word come forth on tonight. Let us get a better understanding of the significance of prayer in the life of Christians. Help us to better understand what it is that we are to do when we pray and how we are to pray and what we are to pray for. So, God, again, we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all so much for joining. And I pray that tonight will be a blessing to each of you. As I've gone through and worked on this study, it's really been a blessing to me. I think that sometimes we take prayer for granted. And we think that prayer is many things that it really may not be. And so as I've gone through the research for this study tonight, it has given me even a newfound love for prayer and a newfound appreciation for the significance of prayer and what prayer really means. The real significance of prayer is for us to contact God, for us to reach out to God and to get into connection with him and to almost absorb God himself into us. When we pray, we are just reaching out and saying, God, I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to communicate with you. I want to be in your presence, and not just I want to talk to you, but I want to hear what you have to say to me. So prayer is not just about us talking the whole time and us telling God all of our laundry list, if you will, of things that we need and want and that we're asking for, but it is to give him, take time to give him praise and to give him thanks and to hear what he has to say to us. Jeremiah 29:12 says, then when you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Again, that's Jeremiah 29:12. Then when you will call on me and come to me to pray to me, and I will listen to you. So what that's saying to us is that when we call on him and come to him in prayer, he actually listens to us. I remember as a child, I used to ask my parents, does God hear me? Does God hear us when we pray? Does God hear what we're saying? Does he hear? And I wasn't, you know, as a child, I wasn't familiar with Jeremiah 29:12 that clearly says that when we come to him, when we come to him in prayer, when we call on him, that he listens to us and he hears us. He hears our prayers. So don't let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy trick your mind and make you think that God doesn't hear you or that he's not listening to you, because he is listening to you when you go to him in prayer. 2 Chronicles 6:21 says, hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So when we pray to him and he hears us, we're asking him to forgive us. When we pray and he's listening, he's there to forgive us. And I don't want us to take that for granted. I don't want us to miss out on what it is that is really happening when we pray. When we pray, God is truly listening to us, and he's hearing what we're saying, and he is willing to forgive us. He's ready to forgive us. So prayer is basically a way of communication or a way of expressing ourselves to God. And I know sometimes when I pray, I feel like maybe I don't even really have the right words or enough words in my vocabulary to actually pray my heart, you know, to the Lord. But prayer is, it's communication with God. It's a way of us expressing ourselves to him as our creator. It's also a way of deepening our relationship with him. So you will quite often hear people mention or refer to having a deeper, more intimate relationship with Christ. And prayer is one of those ways that you can deepen your relationship with him. It is a way that you can get to know him better, that you can come to understand more about him and his character. And so when we pray, we don't need to be afraid of God or be, even ashamed necessarily of ourselves and maybe things that we've done, because when we go to him, the word tells us that he is there and he hears us and he's ready to forgive. So that helps to deepen our relationship with God. How many of you think about this? How many of you truly want to have a relationship with God, a deep and intimate relationship with God, where you are just personal and one-on-one with him. There's a song out now, and I don't know the name of it, but part of the lyrics say, I just need my one-on-one time with you, Lord. And I love that, because that one-on-one time is when we are able to hear from him. It's when we're able to communicate with him, to share with him. But it's also when we are able to hear from him and get a download, get a divine download from God. And that divine download helps us, it helps to guide us in how we are to live our lives and what we are to do and where we are to go. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants us to work on maintaining our relationship with him. And communication is very, very important. It's a very important part of maintaining any relationship. So if you think about your relationship with your spouse or with one of your best friends or with your parents or with your siblings, one of the ways that you maintain that relationship and strengthen that relationship is through communication. Well, it's the exact same way that you would strengthen and maintain your relationship with God. It's through communication, not by neglecting to talk to him, but by actually spending time with God in prayer. You know, it is true that God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. You know, he knows all those things about us, but he wants us to talk to him. And he wants us to tell him those things. He wants us to express those things to him. So that's part of the significance of prayer, is that he wants us to share with him what is on our hearts and what is on our minds, and not just, you know, assume or not just say, oh, God, you know my heart, and that's enough. No, that's not enough. He tells us to call on him. He wants us to ask him questions. He wants us to seek after him with all of our hearts. He wants us to just be with him and to talk to him. And by doing these things, we get what I think is one of the best gifts ever, which is to know God personally and to have a personal relationship with him. So, in having that personal relationship with him, we are able to get to know more of his character and understand him better. And when we understand him better, it helps us to better walk out a life of holiness or live a life of holiness. When our understanding of him grows, then we are better able to keep his commandments. When our understanding of him grows, we're better able to understand just how much he loves us and cares for us. And it also helps us to understand how powerful God really is. We serve a powerful God. We serve the Almighty God. And we get to know that through prayer. We get to know that as we come to know him personally, not getting to know him by listening to other people's testimonies. And other people's testimonies are great, so I'm not saying that that testimonies are not good, because the word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that's not good, but we have the ability to get to know him personally and intimately by going to him in prayer, by communicating with him. So one of the things that my husband and I tell our kids is prayer is simply you talking to God, you communicating with God. Because, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know what to say. And I quickly tell them, Prayer is just you communicating with God. It's just you talking to God. And so, you know, it's not the vain repetition. It's not using all of the big words and trying to make yourself seem like you're important and you're big and you know every word in the English language or anything like that. It is simply you talking to God. And when I talk to God, when I pray and I talk to God, it is based on my relationship with Him. And so in my relationship with God, He knows me, and He knows how I communicate. And so He and I are able to communicate, and the way I communicate with God may be very different than the way that you would communicate with God. But that doesn't mean that either one of us is right or wrong. It simply means that my relationship with God is just that, my relationship. And your relationship with God is your relationship. And both are just as important to God. He wants to have a personal and intimate relationship with each of us. So when we think about the significance of prayer, there's some points I want to share with you on the significance. So prayer is absolutely significant in our lives. It is significant to our spiritual health and well-being. So just as you have some things that are significant to your physical health and well-being. So for example, for your physical health and well-being to be at its highest level, at an optimum, you should make sure that you reduce the amount of salt that you take in. You should make sure that you reduce the amount of sugar that you take in. You should make sure that you're getting some level of exercise every day. You know, so there are things that we do for our physical health that are significant to the health and well-being of us as human beings physically. But there are some things that we need to do to make sure that we are healthy from a spiritual perspective, and prayer is one of those things. So as it relates to the significance of prayer, just a few points I want to share with you tonight. The first one is this: God's word calls for us to pray. Okay? His word calls for us to pray. God commanded us to pray. We have to be obedient to His word. And being obedient to His word, then that means that we have to pray, because His word tells us so. His word tells us that we have to pray, and pray for several different things. Pray in several different ways. We are to pray for those who persecute us. Matthew 5:44. We can't just pray for ourselves. Have you ever encountered people who every time you see them or hear them mention anything about prayer, it's always about them? It's always for them. They always want prayer for themselves. They always need prayer for themselves, and they're never really, you never really hear them mentioning praying for anyone else. They never, you know, request prayer for anyone else. And so what we have to remember is that it's not just prayer for us. It is sometimes prayer for others, and it can even be, or it should even be, prayer for those who persecute you, prayer for those who are not nice to you, those people who may not like you. We still have to pray for them, you know? We can't, so just because a person doesn't like me doesn't mean that I get to dislike them back. It doesn't mean I get to neglect praying for them. It doesn't mean that I get to go to God and pray and ask God to do something to them. No, it doesn't work that way. That is contrary to the word of God. The word says we have to pray for those who persecute us. At Matthew 6 and 9, it starts with, this then is how you should pray. And it takes you through what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, and it just takes us through the model prayer. And that's teaching us how to pray. We ought to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. That's Romans 12 and 12. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So whether we are in good times or whether we are in bad times, we must be faithful in prayer. So whether we are in tremendous health, tremendously good health, or if our health is failing us, we are to be faithful in prayer. If we're full of joy and hope, or if we're in a time of sorrow, we are to pray. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Philippians 4 and 6. We're not to worry. We're not to be anxious about things, but we are to pray and offer up our petitions with thanksgiving. Offer the petition with thanksgiving and present that to God. So, you know, we currently are living in a time where it seems like a lot of people are very, very anxious. And I'm not saying that they're right or wrong. I'm not here to judge that, but I do know that the word of God says that we are not to be anxious, and the way to not be anxious is to pray. We gotta pray about things. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 4 and 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So when it says devote yourselves to prayer, that is a very strong command. The word devote yourself to prayer. That doesn't say, well, maybe you should consider praying, or, you know, maybe you should think about praying. No, the word of God says in Colossians 4 and 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray continually, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to close your eyes and bow your head and be on your knees and fold your hands in front of you, you know, all day, every day, and pray continually. Because, you know, if you work a job, then I need for you to do your job when you're at your job, because you agreed when you took that job that you were going to do the job, and they agreed to pay you a sum of money for doing the job. So I'm not saying that you are to neglect that, but what I'm saying is, in your heart, you can be in an attitude of prayer, in a posture of prayer all the time. Prayer is truly an act of obedience, because God calls us to pray, and since He calls us to pray, we have to respond. We must respond, because He called us to pray, because God called us to pray. We have to pray. We do not have a choice. We're living in the next point. We're living in the dispensation of grace, and we are considered the New Testament church. And so, as the New Testament church, our model, our example is Jesus Christ. Correct? He is the model, the example that we are to look to as we are going about living a Christ-like life in this New Testament, at the New Testament church. So Jesus prayed on a regular basis, on a very regular basis. He prayed for many reasons. One was so that we could have an example of what to pray, how to pray, when to pray, and so that we could learn from Him. he set the model. He put the model in place for prayer. So we have to look at our model, or look at Jesus, who is our example, and see how he prayed. He prayed on a regular basis. Matthew 14:23 says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So when do you take your time to go and pray by yourself? When do you get to your secret closet? When do you get to your quiet place so that you are alone and can pray? You know, I have a bit of a ride into work in the morning. So after I drop my son off at school and I'm making my way through traffic, just in my heart, I'm praying. Again, I don't have my eyes closed and, you know, my hands clasped and that kind of thing. But what I do is I pray in my heart, and quite often I'm praying out loud in the car and just talking to God, because that's a chunk of time that I'm by myself. I don't have any of the kids, you know, with the mommy questions and that kind of thing. And my husband's typically not in the car with me. We don't typically ride to work together. And so, I don't have him to talk to. And I use that time to pray. But Jesus was our model. He was our example. And he laid the foundation for prayer. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Again, he went to be alone and pray. I love Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So that's setting the example for, or showing us that, you know, we need to rise early and go to him in prayer. We need to rise early before we get started on our day. Because let's face it, we have very busy days. We have very busy lives and a lot of things going on. We have our families, and we have our careers. And for those of us who are entrepreneurs, we have our businesses, and we have ministries that we birthed, and that we are, you know, we're running ministries, and we have all kinds of things. Some of us are in school, and we have volunteerism and all kinds of things. So we have very full lives and very full days. And so here in Mark 1:35, it's saying that Jesus got up early, very early in the morning while it was still dark, and he went away to a solitary place and prayed. So that's an example set for us, that we need to get up early before all of the cares of the day, before all of the things that, you know, we do during the day, have to do during the day, get started. And we can move forward with a beautiful day, with a blessed day, because we have begun that day in prayer, because we have started out in prayer. Luke 6:12 says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Okay, so for those of us who are not early risers, but we're late night people, here's an example of where Jesus prayed at night. It said he spent the night praying to God. So you're not an early riser? Okay, that's fine. Nobody's saying you have to be. Pray at night. The moral here, or the gist of this point, is that Jesus prayed regularly, and so should we. Jesus prayed on a regular basis, and so should we. Amen? Another point I want to leave with you. We talked about how prayer is the way that we communicate with God. Prayer allows us to worship and praise the Lord. It allows us to confess our sins, and that will lead to repentance. When we, with a sincere heart, confess our sins, and we have that intimate and personal relationship with Christ and we really want to serve him, when we confess our sins, it leads to a repentance. It leads to us repenting and saying, God, I have committed this sin and I need you to forgive me because I don't want this sin to come between me and you. So when we are communicating with him and we are confessing our sins, we have the opportunity to seek forgiveness. And when we seek forgiveness, then we're saying, God, remove anything that might come between me and you, because I don't want anything to come between me and you, God. I want to have a clean heart, a pure heart when I come to you, and I don't want anything to come between us, nothing at all. I don't want anything or anybody to come between us. It also gives us, when we pray and communicate with God, it gives us the opportunity to share our requests, you know, the things that we stand in need of. And again, it may not be that you are in need of it, but it may be that you're standing in the gap for someone else. So it may be that you have a family member who has a situation, and you're standing in the gap for that family member. Or it may be your coworker. It could be anybody else that you're lifting up a request for. You're presenting a request to God on your behalf or on behalf of another person. But either way, all of these are you communicating with God. Every single one of them are you communicating with God. And because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he wants us to commune with him through prayer, he hears us. He hears what we are saying. And our prayer is not just asking God, bless me, bless me, bless me. It's not just give me, give me, give me, even though we can ask God to bless us and we can ask God to help us and ask God to, do those things for us. But it's really about communicating with God and making sure that you are not just, you know, talking and you're the only one talking, but in that quiet time, make sure that you have time or leave time for God to talk back to you. He wants us to commune with him, but he's going to commune with us as well. He is going to give us a download. He's going to give us some instruction as well. So if we don't have that communication with God, then the relationship is going to get a little rocky. So think back to when you've had a relationship with, you know, your spouse or with a friend or a family member, and the communication got a little off. What happened? The relationship got rocky. The relationship got a little difficult. Well, it's the same thing with God. When we don't spend time communicating with him, then we allow the relationship, or we open the door, or make the situation right for our relationship with God to get a little rocky. We have to give the time to communicate with God. Hebrews 4:15-16 says this: for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So we have to go to God. Well, first of all, God is not some high, unapproachable God, some high God who's sitting there and looking down on us and just condemning everything that we do. That's not the God we serve. He is a God who understands, and he loves us, and he knows that we have weaknesses, and he understands the temptation that we experience, even though he never sinned. He never once sinned. And the word tells us to approach his throne with confidence, not with pride, not with arrogance, not as a braggart, but approach it with confidence. And that confidence is that he wants to have an intimate relationship with us, and we want to have an intimate relationship with him. And he's there for us. He's there for us in the good times. He's there for us in the times that we really need him, that, you know, when things are going on, he's there for us. So we can't neglect our time of communicating with God. We can't do that. Another point I want to leave with you is that prayer allows us to participate in God's word. Now, the question is, does God really need our help? Absolutely not. Not a single one of us was there when he created the heavens and the earth. Not a single one of us was around, was needed. He didn't need us one little bit. When he performed the miracles, he didn't need a single one of us. As he's continuing to perform miracles today, he doesn't need a single one of us. So no, let's not get it twisted that God needs our help. But what prayer does is it allows us to participate in God's works. So he has all the power and control of everything, everything. But prayer is a means that God has ordained a way for some things to happen. So when we pray, it helps others to know about the love of Jesus. Prayer can clear human obstacles out of the way so that God can work. Now, it's not that God can't work without our prayers, but he established prayer as a part of his plan for accomplishing his will in this earth. And so he allows us to participate in his works. He doesn't need us to participate in his works. He allows us to. And that's a beautiful part of prayer. That is a beautiful thing that God will allow us to participate. You know, when he clearly doesn't have to and doesn't need us for his miracle work and power. We know from the Word of God, another point, we know from the Word of God that prayer gives us the power over evil. So physical strength can't overcome the obstacles and challenges that we face in the spiritual realm. Our physical strength can't do that. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's Ephesians 6 and 12. It's against the principalities. And a principality can be anything. You know, I think sometimes when we hear that scripture, we hear the word principality, or we hear the word against authorities or rulers, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil. You know, we're looking for something, you know, really evil and, you know, bad looking and that kind of thing. But a principality is really anything that you exalt over God. And it may be something that starts out good, or that has a good intent or a good purpose, but you exalt it above God. And our physical strength can do nothing against those challenges in the spiritual realm. So in prayer, though, even as physically weak beings, we can become strong in the spiritual realm. And that's why we can call on God to grant us power over evil. So when we are trying to overpower evil in our own physical strength, in our own flesh, we don't stand a chance. But because we have prayer, we have the God can grant to us power to overcome evil. And if we neglect to pray, then we are not going to be strong enough spiritually to overcome the power of evil. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." We are, our flesh, our physical strength is weak. It is not strong enough to fight against the enemy and to fight against and overcome the power of evil. So it is through prayer that we are able, or that God grants us the power over evil, through prayer, not through, fussing and fighting and bickering and debating and arguing and even physical altercations, physical fighting, that kind of thing. It's not through that. It is through prayer that we are granted the power to overcome evil. Another point I want to leave with you is that prayer keeps us humble before God. Prayer keeps us humble before God. Matthew 18:4 says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So when we pray, it reminds us that we are not in control, but God is in control, and that is what helps to keep pride from rising up in us. I see people all the time who sincerely believe that they are in control. They believe that they are, making all the decisions, that they have all the power, that they are doing it all. And it's sad to see that, because you know that they are going to fall. You know that they are going to experience a fall. And we have to make sure that we remain humble so that we are not getting puffed up with pride. Because when you get puffed up with pride, you're setting yourself up for a tremendous fall. You're setting yourself up for an unpleasant situation. And prayer can help to keep you from going down that road. Prayer helps to keep you humble and not get prideful and become boastful. Prayer also grants us the privilege of experiencing God. Through prayer, we can have an encounter with God. Prayer makes our experience of God real on a very emotional level. We are able to connect with God through prayer, and it becomes very intimate. And now, not ignoring your intellect or reasons of faith or anything like that, but prayer gives us the opportunity, the privilege even, to experience God, to encounter God. And once you have an encounter with God, like a true encounter with God, then you will never be the same. You will never experience life the same way again. Prayer strengthens the bond between believers. So have you ever asked your brother or your sister, somebody from in your church family to pray with you, or to pray in a situation, agree with you on a situation? and then the two of you get to come back together and give the testimony of what God did based on that prayer, well, that strengthens the bond between us as believers. It strengthens our bond. It helps us to grow closer together and to be, you know, fellows in the ship. You know, as you hear people say, as we fellowship, we are fellows in the ship together. And it helps us because, you know, we know that God is there for us. We know that when Jesus, you know, went back to glory to be with his Father, that he said, I will not leave you comfortless, and he sent back the Comforter. So the Holy Spirit is here with us. We know that. The Holy Ghost is here. But, you know, sometimes you just need somebody. You need somebody with some flesh and blood that you can put your hands on, and you can just lock hands together and pray and believe and know that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. You know that the two of you can touch and agree, the three of you, the 20 of you, the hundreds of you, however many of you it is, can touch and agree, and God is going to do, he's going to hear you. He's going to listen. He's going to hear you, and you guys can pray together. It's a beautiful strengthening of the bonds between believers. Also, answered prayer as a potential witness. So when you have prayed about a situation and God moves and God does that thing, then you are able to witness to others. You are able to tell others, you know, I prayed about this particular situation, and this is how God did it. And so you're able to witness to other people who may actually doubt. There are people who just aren't quite sure that God listens and hears your prayers. They're not quite sure that God answers prayers, and if they can hear your testimony of when God answered your prayer, then that helps to strengthen their belief in God as one who answers prayer. And so, you know, answered prayer is a witness. It's a witness to those who may not even be believers yet, and it's also a witness to those who are believers, but maybe their faith just isn't quite as strong, maybe, as yours is. Prayer can succeed where other means have failed. So if you think about the woman with the issue of blood, she had tried everything. She had gone to every doctor. She had spent all she had trying to get well for all of those years. And none of that worked. None of that was successful for her. But when she got to Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment, right then, it was a done deal. Right then, it was sealed. Her healing was sealed. Well, have you tried all kinds of things? Have you tried to fix it yourself? Have you tried to work it out yourself? Have you tried to make it all right, make all the ends meet, make all the dots connect yourself, and you've exhausted all of your options? Well, what I submit to you is that prayer can succeed where all your options have failed. We shouldn't let prayer be our last resort. It should really be our first response to everything. But the reality is that sometimes as human beings, we will try to work it all out ourselves. We will try to figure it out, and we'll try to, you know, move it this way and shift it over that way. And then when it's all, you know, jumbled up and every option that we know of, every option that we see is exhausted, then we'll go to God in prayer. Well, let's reverse that. Let's reverse that and offer up sincere prayer in the beginning. let's offer up sincere prayer on a regular basis. We said one of the points earlier was that Jesus prayed on a regular basis. Well, let's get to that place where we're praying on a regular basis, praying for ourselves, praying for others, praying for those who persecute us, praying for the local ministry that you are a part of, just praying for others and for yourself, and praying for other situations. You know, are we praying for our country right now? Are we praying for those leaders who are over us? Or are we praying with a sincere heart now? Are we praying and not with an agenda, not with an intent, not with a motive, you know? And when I say intent and motive, I mean in a negative way. But are we praying with a sincere heart and praying a sincere prayer on a regular basis? And are we praying for someone other than ourselves? Are we asking God to move in these situations, in our situation, in the situation of others? Are we asking God, or are we waiting until things are at their absolute worst, and then we go to God in prayer? Prayer is significant in the life of believers. Prayer is significant in the life of Christians, in the life of saints. It is our way of connecting with God. It's our way of contacting God. It's our way of drawing in close to God. We have to have that intimate relationship with God, and we achieve that. One of the ways we achieve that is through prayer. So prayer is one of the most significant components of a life, of the life of a believer of a Christian. And it is so necessary for all of us. So those are some points on the significance of prayer, and I pray that it has been a blessing to you. But let's do this. Let's go to God in prayer right now before we close out. Heavenly Father, we pause and say thank you. We pause again, and we ask you to forgive us for anything that we may have said or done or thought that was not pleasing in your sight. Because, God, we don't want to have anything in us that will come between you and us and our personal and intimate relationship. God, we thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. We give you thanks for being our Creator. We give you thanks for keeping us and protecting us. And we ask you, God, to let the significance of prayer just become just so heavy on us that we know we have to pray on a regular basis, that we know that your word calls us to pray, that we know that prayer is the way that we communicate with you, that we know that prayer, through prayer, you allow us to participate in your works. Not that you need us to participate in your works, because you are God, and besides you, there is none other. You are sovereign. You are omnipotent. You are omniscient, and you don't need us, but God, you allow us through prayer to participate in your works, and we give you thanks for that. God, help us to know the significance of prayer, in that it is through prayer that we have the power to overcome evil, and that it is through prayer that we remain humble and we are not getting prideful and boastful, that it's through prayer that it can be a witness. As you answer our prayers, that we are able to witness to others, and that prayer helps to strengthen our bond with one another. And God, last but not least, please forgive us for letting prayer be our last resort. God, we commit from this day forward that prayer will be our first response in every situation, and that we will pray regularly unto you. Now, God, be with us. Be with us and keep us. Lead us and guide us in all that we do. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for this time to share with you, and I pray that this has been a blessing to you. Tonight, we have talked about the significance of prayer. This is the first in a series that I am calling the Significance Series, and we're going to talk about several things that are significant in the life of believers. I am Michelle Edelin, Assistant Pastor at Fountain of Living Waters Church, and we are in Raleigh, North Carolina. And if you're in the area, we invite you to come and fellowship with us. We have service beginning Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. with Bible Academy, followed by our Sunday morning service where we have dynamic preaching and teaching every single Sunday. We come back on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for Bible study, and we are currently studying the book of Revelation. We also open our food pantry on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. where we share non-perishable food items. So if you're in need, please come and speak, and we will help you as we can. God bless you, and remember, once you drink from the fountain, you will never thirst again. Bye-bye.